Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk Chicago's commemorative World Series podcast. My name's John Zagluel, owner and operator of the site. We have a special guest on today to talk about the World Series with me, but first, just a few quick announcements. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports. Also, hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all at John Zags. And finally, if you're looking for a local place here in the Tinley Park area, for shopping, for gifts, for more, check out Mochi World, a peculiar place, at the Tinley Park Down Shopping Center. Its address is 7913 171st Street in Tinley Park, Illinois. You can call them by calling the number 773-796-8224. Again, that's 773-796-8224. Well, don't we have a lot to talk about as your Chicago Cubs are in the World Series for the first time in 71 years. Of course, the last time they made it was in 1945. Tonight will be Game 3 as the series is tied 1-1. It's Kyle Hendricks, the MLB ERA leader, versus Josh Tomlin in tonight's pitching matchup. As for the game, it should be an interesting one and a pivotal one at that, considering the series is tied 1-1. For the Cubs tonight, we will know one thing, and that's that Kyle Schwarber will not be able to play the outfield. In conversations yesterday held with Theo Epstein and his doctors, Schwarber was not cleared to play the field, so he's only going to be available as a pinch hitter off the bench in these NL games. Of course, if the series reverts back to Cleveland, Schwarber will be ready to serve as the designated hitter. And he did a great job of that in the first two games, going a combined 3-for-7 with 2 RBIs. That's a .429 average. And two things really stand out to me about Kyle Schwarber. First off is the fact that he was able to come back. Of course, we remember only in Game 4 of the season where Schwarber was playing in the outfield, had a collision with Dexter Fowler and tore his ACL. So right away, everyone jumped to conclusions and everybody, including myself, thought that he would be out for the entire season. But just a few weeks ago, he was cleared by the doctors to resume hitting, so he worked so hard and was able to have kind of a condensed sort of spring training in a matter of a week and was able to come back to the field and work wonders on the field as well. I mean, I never thought that Schwarber would be able to produce at the level that he is. It seems like he has never missed a beat. Of course, we are all waiting for that elusive first home run, and I'm sure that will come, but either way, he has really been a spark and a catalyst for this Cubs team here in the World Series. Another thing about Schwarber that really stands out to me, and that's just the fact that I love to see him hit. He is one of those players where when you see him at the plate, you just get excited. You think, man, this guy's going to hit a home run every time he comes up to that plate. And again, he has done such a great job at really propelling this Cubs offense. And again, with the Cubs, one thing is for certain, hitting is contagious. If one guy starts hitting, the rest will follow. And although Rizzo and Russell both broke out of their slumps before the World Series, it has certainly helped to see Schwarber hitting at the torrid pace that he is. Now, from a pitching standpoint, someone who really stood out to me in this series so far has been Jake Arrieta, someone who has been thought of as nothing, as really the number 4 starter this year, despite being the reigning Cy Young Award winner. But he did look like himself, despite the 3 walks, went 5 2/3 innings, giving up only 1 earned run, and had a no-hitter going into the 6th inning. He gets the win, and his ERA now in the World Series is 1.59. So a great job by Jake Arrieta. And personally, if it wasn't for this start, if he performed dismally, my thought was to have Arrieta come out of the bullpen and use a 3-man rotation. Of course, it's worked before, as in Tim Lincecum for the Giants in 2012. And it was just a thought of mine because of the fact that Arrieta had not been performing that well this postseason. Overall, in the postseason itself, Arrieta still has a 3.78 ERA, so kind of high considering. But with that start, I think he has really cemented himself as the Cubs' true number 2 or number 3 starter, depending on where you want to put Hendricks and Arrieta in that order. And speaking of Kyle Hendricks, if it wasn't for him, I don't think the Cubs would be in this World Series. Of course, he pitched in Game 6 for the Cubs to allow them to advance, out-dueling Clayton Kershaw. Hendricks in that game, 7 and a third, no runs, 6 strikeouts. And this entire postseason as a whole has been pretty generous to Hendricks, considering his track record after the 2015 postseason. This year, Hendricks, a 1.65 ERA, 1-1 record, 16 and a third innings pitched, and 11 strikeouts. And for Hendricks, of course, this season has been nothing short of extraordinary. He leads the MLB in ERA with a 2.13 mark. He went 16-8 in the regular season and posted 2 complete games, despite his average fastball speed falling short of 90 miles per hour. I mean, this guy just simply knows how to pitch and how to hit his spots. The comparison to Greg Maddux, I think, is perfectly apt to the situation. Now, back to the offensive side of things, and there is a bit of a dilemma for Joe Maddon, as we've seen in these first World Series games. Jason Hayward has been benched in the first 2 games in favor of Jorge Soler and Chris Coughlin. Now, we don't know if he'll be starting tonight. I would have to assume he may due to his defense, but what are your thoughts on this? Now, here are mine. Hear me out on this, first of all. Now, Jason Hayward this year has been a disappointment, and there's no need to say it twice. I mean, his batting average this year, only in the 230 range. This postseason, it's been 067, and he's only posted 1 RBI. But his quote-unquote best replacement is Jorge Soler, who has yet to record a hit in this entire postseason. His batting average is at 0, his OPS only at a mere 231. Hayward's other fantastic replacement is Chris Coughlin. Guess what? His batting average is 0, his OPS 143. So when you think about it here, Jason Hayward is and hopefully will be a good player to come in these coming years. Of course, right now he's struggling through a slump, and it's been that way the entire season. But his replacements are batting even worse, if you can believe that, as they both have not recorded any hits this entire postseason. And Hayward, with his defensive track record, simply deserves to play over someone like Soler or Coughlin. Hayward this season has posted a superior .993 fielding percentage. That means he's only committed 2 errors in the outfield all season long. Chris Coughlin and Jorge Soler do not match up to Hayward defensively, and actually, they don't match up to him offensively at this point. So, if the offense cancels out, but Hayward is a much better defender, you might as well start him. That's the most logical choice. Now on to tonight, which is Game 3, the pitching matchup, Josh Tomlin versus Kyle Hendricks. Now let's talk about Tomlin for a moment. Of course, we all know Hendricks, the MLB ERA leader, this year went 16-8. But here's some more on Josh Tomlin. Now, this year had a rough season. Despite the 13-9 record, his ERA was 4.40, so a bit high. Only 118 strikeouts in 174 innings, so more of a pitch-to-contact pitcher, which is similar to Kyle Hendricks, an ERA plus of 106, which is pretty much average. So this guy is your average run-of-the-mill 4-5 number starting pitcher, and tonight he'll be facing a loaded Cubs lineup. Now, I should note that Tomlin this postseason has seen some success going 2-0 with a 2.53 ERA, and he has 10 Ks in 10 2/3 innings pitched. So, an anomaly, really, for Tomlin, because of this season in general, he is not perceived as a strikeout pitcher, but this postseason, averaging just under 9 per 9 innings, and of course, the 2-0 record, the 2.53 ERA. So the Cubs are going to be dealing with a hot pitcher. Now, what does Josh Tomlin do that makes him so effective? Well, it's simply the fact that he throws slow and has a very good average spin rate, or RPM. Tomlin's average fastball speed is only 88.28 miles per hour, yet his average spin rate is 2,457 RPMs. So the good thing about Tomlin is that he's just like a Hendricks, meaning that he's a sinker baller, a slow pitcher. Now the bad thing for the Cubs is that they have to find a way to time up that slow pitching. Will they be able to do it? Well, of course, time will tell tonight, but that will be the key to the Cubs tonight regarding facing Josh Tomlin and the Indians. Here's one last tidbit on Josh Tomlin, and this one is more of a heartwarming story. Josh Tomlin will pitch the World Series tonight with his ailing father in the stands. Here's a quote from an article on CSNChicago.com. As if a matchup between the teams with the longest championship droughts in Major League Baseball wasn't compelling enough, Tomlin will start the first World Series game at Wrigley Field in 71 years on Friday night in front of his father, Jerry, who only 2 months ago was paralyzed from the chest down. Tomlin, in this quote here, seems pretty happy about seeing his father and his whole family at the game tonight. Quote, "Oh, it means a lot. He hasn't been to a game in quite a while, and it wasn't looking like he was going to get to come to a game at all. So to have him here and just to be able to see him is the thing I'm most looking forward to." So a nice heartwarming story for Josh Tomlin, but let's see how he does tonight against Kyle Hendricks. Again, the game starts at 7:08 p.m. right here in Chicago at beautiful Wrigley Field. Now for more analysis on this historic World Series for the Chicago Cubs, here comes our special guest, and let me tell you a little bit about him. Currently, he's an analyst on ESPN's Baseball Tonight, yet he is also a contributor to ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. He guest stars on Mike and Mike in the Morning on Thursdays at 7:44 a.m., discussing the latest happenings in Major League Baseball. He is also a frequent contributor to Buster Olney's podcast and has appeared on the Dan Le Batard Show. Also for journalism, he was the former beat writer for the Texas Rangers and Baltimore Orioles. He was also a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Please welcome Tim Kirkjian to the show. Hello, everybody. We are back on the show today with Tim Kirkjian of Baseball Tonight. Tim, how you doing? And thank you for being here on the show.
Thank you, John. I'm doing well.
So, first off, I'd like to discuss Kyle Schwarber and his return to the team after previously tearing his ACL. Now, since his return, he's gone 3-for-7 with 2 RBIs. Although he has not been cleared to play the field, what do you expect out of him throughout the rest of the series?
Well, I expect him to be a very dangerous hitter off the bench in the 3 games at Wrigley. And if the series goes back to Cleveland, and I think it is, I think he'll be the DH there, obviously, because he's been a really good hitter in this postseason. And I'm just amazed that anyone could take that much time away from the major leagues facing major league pitching, keep his timing, and swing the bat as well as he did in the first 2 games of the World Series. He is the only non-pitcher in history to have no hits during the regular season and then start a World Series game. And not only did he start it, he drove in runs, he drew critical walks, he really swung the bat well. I'm amazed.
Now, I want to go back to the Indians because someone who has really emerged for them as an offensive threat is Roberto Perez, who had 2 home runs in Game 1 despite hitting 3 total in the regular season. What must the Cubs do from a pitching standpoint to keep him under control?
Well, they have to keep the ball out of the middle of the plate because he hit a couple of home runs off balls that were probably not located properly. But this is why baseball is so great. Is that guy, as you said, hit 3 homers in 153 at-bats this season and now has 3 homers in the postseason. And now he is the 5th catcher ever to hit 2 home runs in a World Series game. And the others are Gene Tennis, pretty good player, Yogi Berra, Johnny Bench, and Gary Carter, 3 of the top 8 catchers of all time. And now Roberto Perez is part of that group. So this is why baseball is so great, that a number 9 hitter, in fact the only number 9 hitter ever to hit 2 home runs in a World Series game, has become an important guy in the Cleveland lineup.
Now, tonight's pitching matchup features Kyle Hendricks, the MLB's ERA leader against Josh Tomlin, who has posted a 2-0 record in two postseason starts. Who is the advantage tonight in regards to starting pitching?
Well, I really like Josh Tomlin, but Kyle Hendricks has the advantage, especially with the way he pitched this season, 2.13 ERA, but more important even than that, 1.32 ERA at Wrigley Field this year. And the way he pitched against the Dodgers to clinch the pennant was just remarkable. He faced the minimum through 7 innings. The only other pitcher in Major League history to do that in a postseason game was Don Larson, who, of course, pitched a perfect game. He was absolutely tremendous, and it just showed anyone who doesn't throw real hard that you can dominate Major League hitters at 88 miles an hour if you locate it properly, and that's precisely what Kyle Hendricks did.
Now, I want to get your thoughts on Jason Hayward, because he's been a topic of discussion this entire season for the Cubs. He was benched the first two games in this World Series. Now, critics have argued that he should not play due to his .067 playoff batting average, yet his supporters look to his impeccable .993 fielding percentage. He's only made two errors this entire season in right and center combined. So do you think that Hayward should start in tonight's game, or should he function as a late-game defensive replacement?
I think he's going to start in Game 3, and I think he should start in Game 3. Now, look, I've watched him. He is completely overmatched at the plate right now. But he did hit a ball hard in Game 2, line drive to the center fielder, and maybe that's enough to maybe get him going a little bit. But the bottom line is the Cubs won the pennant with him as their everyday right fielder. They won 103 games with him as their everyday right fielder, and they were 42 games over 500 in games that he started. And even though he looks completely overmatched at certain times, I think for the chemistry of the club, I think there's value in playing Jason Hayward in right field for his defense, for his base running, and to show everybody on the team, look, he's a reason, maybe a small reason, that we got here, and we're going to stick with it.
Now, reasoning for the Indians could include Francisco Lindor. He has been one of their biggest contributors this postseason. He is hitting .342 with two home runs and four RBIs during the postseason. So, do you think the Indians are relying on his offense too much, though? Who else needs to heat up to give the team a well-rounded offensive threat?
Well, the Indians were a really good offensive team this season, but they have not been a good offensive team in the postseason, which means mostly the middle of the order, Mike Napoli, people such as that, have to get things going here for the Indians. Now, their greatest strength is they can beat you all different ways, with speed, with power, and they can beat you the top of the lineup and the bottom of the lineup, as we saw with Roberto Perez. And their eight hitters hit 18 home runs this year. That's a lot for the eighth spot in the order. But in the end, they're going to have to get the middle of the order going. Mike Napoli was one of the leaders of this team in so many ways, and the power that he has is crucial. I think he's the guy that you kind of point to and say, if he can get it going, the Indians are going to score some more runs.
Now, you mentioned the Indians, and during the regular season, they've overcome many adversities. I mean, at the beginning of the year, they were forced to shuffle their starting outfield due to the PED suspension of Abraham Almonte. They have also lost their number two and number three starting pitchers. Of course, Salazar has come back, but only in a limited fashion. So what has allowed the team to make it this far into the playoffs?
Well, a couple things. Number one, their bullpen has been absolutely sensational. Andrew Miller has been basically the best player in this postseason. He hasn't given up a run yet. He's 13 and two-thirds innings. He's got 23 strikeouts. No one has ever had a strikeout rate quite like this in the postseason. Most importantly, he can pitch the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. He can bring the game to Cody Allen, the closer, or if they need Cody Allen before the ninth inning, as they did against Toronto, they can use Andrew Miller in the ninth. So to me, that is the biggest reason that the Indians are where they are. If they can get a lead and get the ball to Andrew Miller, they have a chance to beat anybody.
Now, I want to go back to the Cubs because they have really made it here in quite a short time. I mean, back in 2011 is when the Cubs hired Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer to lead the front office and build that winning atmosphere. And after just 5 years, they have guided the Cubs to an improbable World Series appearance. Did you think that this winning culture would embrace the Cubs this quick?
I thought it would take a good 5 years. To me, they're still about a year ahead of schedule. I thought last year would be this year, and this year would be next year. So they're about a year ahead of schedule. I know it took some struggles early and a whole lot of losses, but Theo Epstein promised from the beginning, we're going to do this right. We're going to be methodical about it. You got to be patient. A lot of work has to be done. And they've gotten here in just about a year quicker than I thought they would. But they have built it slowly and methodically so it can last. This is not a 2-year build. This is more like a 10-year build. And that's pretty impressive.
Now, after watching the first two games of this series, who was your pick to win the 2016 World Series?
Well, I picked the Cubs to win the World Series at the beginning of the season. I picked them at the beginning of the playoffs, and I picked them at the beginning of the World Series. I picked them to win in 7 games. The beauty of baseball, of course, is these picks don't mean anything because the game is so great. It's so unpredictable. You have no idea what's going to happen. But from what I've seen so far, I think the Cubs are a better team. But to underestimate the Indians at any point, how resilient they are, how determined they are, how tough they are, would be a big mistake. I've seen the Indians a lot this year, and they really play the game the right way. They run the bases, they play defense, great bullpen, and an ace in Corey Kluber. So I'm going to stick with my original prediction, Cubs in 7, but it could go any way from here, and that's the beauty of baseball. We don't know which way it's going to go.
Now, on one final note, who stood out to you in the 2016 World Series player portraits? Because I was thinking Andrew Miller and David Ross had some nice portraits.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And as for David Ross, I went out to dinner on Thursday night here in Chicago. And David Ross ate in the same restaurant that I went to. And when he walked in, the entire restaurant like stood up and cheered. It was unbelievable. And this is what happens when you play on a World Series team, a team that gets this much attention for a team that is this starved for a championship. You're a backup catcher, and he's a really good backup catcher, but he told me, I've never had anything like that happen to me before. It was really fun to watch.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to be on the show. Thank you again.
Thank you, John.
Well, what an honor and privilege it was to have Tim Kirkjian on the show. Had some great analysis, and now it's time for the game, or at least coming up tonight. We thank you all for listening to this podcast, this commemorative World Series podcast. If you have any thoughts and you want to let me know, comment on this podcast or email me, info@sportstalkchicago.com. Now remember to follow us on Twitter @ShyTalkSports. Also hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all @JohnZags. Again, make sure to watch tonight's game at a 7:08 start time here in Chicago, a pivotal Game 3 matchup with the series currently tied 1-1. That's it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you again for listening, and go Cubs!